This is a person that we have come to appreciate, somebody we've come to love. And if you all can help me, welcome Pastor David Kagunda, the man who told us last time not to sit on our talents. So let us open our ears now and hear what else he has for us.
Amen. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. Amen. Just want to thank God for this moment. It's a honor to come here and share the word of God. And I know it's not usual. Praise the Lord. I don't take it for granted. It's a very serious business for me. And I know it's, I'm very accountable on so many things when I come to teach you about the word of God. But I love it with all my heart. I do it with all my heart. I give it all my time, devote about it, pray about it, fast about it, and expect God to do what he want to do with the church. Praise the Lord. So as you heard, my name is David Kagunda. I'm born again, washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm from Austin, for those who doesn't know me. It's my pleasure to meet another pastor there today. God bless you so much. That's a good work that you're doing there. And you are invited to Austin too. Come and bless us over there. We fellowship in a church called Horizon Worship Center. That's where we are fellowshipping with my wife, Pastor Rose, and I would like to acknowledge her even in her absence, and my two children. I have two children, a boy and a girl, at 12, almost going to 13 and a 10, and I thank God for that. Just want to acknowledge the pastor in his absence, and the first lady, and all the pastors and ministers in this church, all the members, and all the visitors. Welcome again to the house of the Lord. I just want to say that we've been having a very hard time. Our pastor, about a week ago in Austin, he lost her sister. And it hasn't been easy. But God has helped us. He has holded that family together until everything went well. We were burying her yesterday, and I just thank God. I can say that because every time we see something happening and going well, even for the family acknowledging that they have seen the hand of Lord, we just know that it's the prayers of brothers and sisters wherever they are. So I thank you too for your prayers, because they keep us going at all times. That's why it's important to pray for each other, because you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what somebody else is going through. But just to stay in the will of God, it's a blessing. Praise the Lord. So I'm here 1 week. The other week I might be in Austin. Like next week I'll be in Austin too. We have another wedding over there. So I'll be there. So please just bear with me. I know you can understand, but sometimes I feel like, oh, 1 week I'm here, 1 week I'm not here. But when you have two homes, it's very difficult for those who know that. But we try, and we just do according to what the Lord is directing us to do. So I don't want us to delay too much, but I want us to go straight to the Word. And today we just want to look at the word in the book of John 5, from verse 1 to 15. Brother Tony, you want to read us for us? Yeah, I know. I want you to get your Bible. That's why I gave you that work to do. I love you, brother. It's in the book of John. It's in the New Testament. I hope you got it. Amen. The man told the crowd that it was Jesus who made him well. Amen. My theme today, I want to call it, there is nothing impossible with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Say, there is nothing impossible with Jesus. Say like you mean it, there is nothing impossible with Jesus. This is a story that we are introduced about a man who was, according to the word of God, invalid, meaning that he was sickly or disabled. And as I was reading this word, I realized that this man had withered, or he had a limb that didn't work. One of his hand or something like that did not work. They didn't say exactly what it was, but the Bible says he was invalid. And he was invalid for 38 years. John introduces us to the story, and he's the only one who writes the story in the book of Gospel. The others haven't written about it, but I believe he had a reason why he wrote it. Jesus leaves Galilee, and he goes to Jerusalem. There was a feast of the Jews, and it was a Passover. It was the most celebrated in our time. In our time today, we could call it maybe like Christmas, when we say, I want to go home, I want to be at home during this feast. And Jesus, who was a resident of Galilee, he left Galilee and he went to join the other brothers and sisters in Jerusalem so that they can worship together, be blessed together, and just glorify God together. He sets an example for us that when we have an important meeting, we should come together. Even when it's Sunday, we should be together, worship together, be blessed together. And it's a good place to be when other people are going to church, or whether it's a sermon or whatever is going on, but it's for the glory of God. We need to be there so that we can strengthen the other body for the glory of God. So Jesus is setting an example here for us not to ignore the important days. Ignore either the feast or ignore big celebrations when the people of God calls you and tells you, we have this thing, come and be with us, join us for the glory of God. Join us, there is something we are doing here. We are doing this for the glory of God. We are doing this, but we need your help. Try to join the body of Christ, because I believe even when we were in the world, we used to go to these parties. We used to be very good when we were called. We never missed. So when we are now on the other side, we should avail ourselves in the church. Praise the Lord. So it's an opportunity to bless others and be blessed. The feast was near the sheep gate, according to the word of God. And the sheep market, this is where the sheep were brought and sold. It was a big, big market. And it was near the temple. So it was built by Eliashib. If you can look in the book of Nehemiah 3, the high priest, as we see, they sanctified it. That's the gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it in place. If you read in the book of Nehemiah 3, you'll see. It was a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, the name of mercy. That's the name of Bethesda, means mercy, the house of mercy, or the house of grace, because that's where people went and got the mercy of God. It was, in our current day, this pool Bethesda would be like ECC. It would be like the church of the present day. This is where people used to go so that they could be healed. It was a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which means the house of mercy, for there appeared the mercy and grace of God to the sick and diseased. The pool was surrounded by five porches, meaning that it was a big pool but it was surrounded by things that we can call porches that were built by people so that the sick and the lame and the diseased could come and have some shade, you know, like how we build where we have a bus stop. We will make some shade so that people who are waiting for the bus stop can cover themselves against bad weather or something like that. So this pool, there were so many people who were coming there because naturally the pool was a blessing to the whole community. So many people were coming, and people had joined forces because of the way people were laying there waiting for the water to be stirred, so they made the porches. And we see that a porch is a structure attached to exterior of a building, often forming a covered entrance. People had mercy at the sick and made some roof to cover them for the sun and bad weather as they waited their miracles or to be healed of their sickness. So we can know that a thousand of people, I mean, so many people came over there because, as we know that if somebody knows this is where the miracle is happening, I mean, we can't even find parking. When miracles will start happening here, this pool, you will try to find parking around here, you can't find it. And an example, like I've gone to T.D. Jakes' church, just for example, and I went there, the parking is like around the church, away from the church. People sometimes, they tend to walk about 15 minutes away from where they park the car. It's amazing. And wherever God is, people will always be there because they have to go there to seek what other people are getting. If it's the blessing, they want to see it. If it's the miracle, they want to receive it. If it's the healing, they want to receive it. So people are coming in masses. We are told a great number of disabled people used to lie here. In this, led a great multitude of impotent, meaning that some were sick and weak. Some folk were blind, lame, and paralyzed. It's good for us to visit hospitals sometimes and see the masses that are there. For some of us who have come from Africa, you know, if you go in some hospitals where services is either low or they don't have enough staff, we have a thousand of people. Some are crying, some, I mean, I just want you to have the picture of what kind of place it was. So there were so many people, all kind of sicknesses, some blind, some lame. Actually, sometimes you get there and you find out that you are really not sick. You are like, you feel sorry for those people who are there. Because once you get to the hospital and you find what others are going through, you feel, I need to go back home. Or you feel well, because sometimes it's just in our mind, the way we feel. But when we see others, what they are going through, you realize, really, I'm well. And nobody tells you, but you tell yourself, I need to be at home. Praise the Lord. So don't let your mind sometimes speak to you negative things, because your mind sometimes can lie to you. Because if you can go to a place where some people are sick and you realize you're not, and you're the one who was feeling bad, then you can change the situation. Praise the Lord. So sometimes if you go to the hospital, you'll be able to thank God for the health and comfort. You know, when you see other people, you'll be like, thank God for what I have, you know? Because today, there are some people who are praying God. They're really, really seeking God. They are telling God, God, if you can get me out of here, out of this mess, out of this sickness, out of this disease, I'll be able to worship you. I mean, somebody is seeking God to have what you have. They're asking God, please, God, do this favor for me, and I will do anything you ask me to do. So we should not take our health for granted, praise the Lord, because we ought to use it for the glory of God. We ought to use it because there is somebody who doesn't have what you have. Though you might feel like you don't have A, B, C, D, But there are some people who are asking, I wish I can get what you have. So think about it and ask God to help you so that you can use what you have for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. They were all waiting for the moving of the water. They came from the from far distance, and they had to have patience to wait for a cure. They came from all over the country. I don't know whether you have seen the places where people are healed. I think there is a place that people get healed. I can't remember where in state, but there is hot springs somewhere in the States. I can't remember the name of it, but people get healed. And I tell you, there are so many people over there waiting because they have seen what this water has done for other people. So they believe that it can happen to them. And so many people had seen others healed in this water. In this pool of Bethesda, they had seen other people healed. Because as we are told, that in one way or the other, we are spiritually impotent, lame or blind. We may not have the weakness or blindness physically, or we may not be blind, we can see. But you know, sometimes it's even worse when you're spiritually blind than when you are really blind. It really doesn't seem like it's a big thing or a big issue, because as long as you have your eyes, you feel you're okay. But most of us, we are spiritually lame, spiritually blind, and even withered. Some of us are just sick spiritually. We need some water. We need a healing. Praise the Lord. We are waiting for a time to receive our healing, like these people who are sitting around the pool. We could be here today, but we are in our pool, and we are waiting God to do something. Whatever issue it is, I have my own. You have your own issues. At least somebody has something. I don't know what you're waiting and what you're telling God while you're waiting for your time to come. And these people who are just staying there, because all they were waiting is the water to be stirred. Because as we see, the angel would come once in a while, seasonally, according to the word of God, and stir the water. The Bible says that our needs, our pain, thank God, for he knows all our weaknesses. Even as these people were waiting, God knew them. He knew everyone's pains. He knew everyone's sickness. He knew everyone's disease. He knew what everyone was there for. And I just want to thank God, for he knows exactly what you need. Amen? So I would just ask you not to get tired waiting on God, because sometimes you wait and wait, and you wonder whether, will God ever show up in my situation? Praise the Lord. But I just want to encourage you that he knows what you're going through. Amen? Just touch somebody and tell them, he knows what you're going through. Look them in the eye and tell them, he knows. Some of us are very shy. But God knows what we are going through. Amen? So whether we have any weakness, whether we have any disease, whatever it is, he knows. Praise the Lord. And he knew exactly what these people were waiting. Verse 4 says, an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Probably 3 or 4 times in a year. Whatsoever went fast after the troubling of the water was made whole. Whatsoever the disease he had, it was seasonally. Praise the Lord. touch somebody and tell them, stir the water up. Why do you need to stir the water? Ask them. Ask somebody, why do you need to stir the water? I want us to make it lively because I see some people are real drowsy. The angel was coming to stir the water so that the healing can start. Praise the Lord. And today, as a lesson, I'm learning this, that the ministers, the brother and the sister, the men of God, we need to stir our talents. We were talking the other day about the talents. Everybody has a talent, whether it's one, whether it's five, whether it's three, whether it's two, you all have a talent. Now you need to stir the water, because only when the water was stirred that the water would heal. Praise the Lord. But if the water was not stirred, it was not healing. Everybody was waiting for the moment when the water was stirred. If the water was not stirred, it would not heal. And that was a critical moment. And only the first one who went in the water, just the first one, was healed. Can you imagine? One person. And it was after a season. A season we know we have. How many seasons do we have in a year? We have four seasons, don't we? So the angel came once in a season. Probably he came four times in a year. And when he got there, he just stirred the water. Can you imagine thousands of people who are there? If it was here today, we came here because we need a blessing, because we need something God to do for us in our lives, and only one person would go with a blessing. My goodness. I felt sorry for these people. But thank God, because he really healed them, whatever time it was. Praise the Lord. So, whosoever went first was, after the troubling of the water, was made whole. It didn't matter what he had, but he was whole. Can you imagine now that thousands of people would be around that place just waiting for free medicine, for a cure that only happened once? Man, sometimes I can't even think about it, but God is faithful. He still did that because he wanted to teach them whatever he wanted to teach them at that time. Praise the Lord. Because I believe there was still a lesson on that, why he came on that time, why they should be patient. And they waited there all the year round. And this man, as we are told, he was there for 38 years. I mean, some people are born and they die, and this man is still there waiting. But thank God, because he's faithful. Praise the Lord. Only one person would get the healing. I remember when Pastor had gone to Kenya, he was telling us about how they went to give out the medication, and it was free medication. And he told us that there were long queues. I mean, they could not even be able to give the medications. There were lines and lines, people waiting just for the healing. And they would give until the medication was out. They didn't have anything else to give. But the sick people, the people who needed the cure, were still there. If you look at this, you wonder what you could do with the sick people, because there is nothing you can do, but only God who can be able to heal them. Praise the Lord. We look at verse 5, it says, and a certain man who was there had for 38 years waited. This man had used all his resources. And you know, even if it was today, Jesus would still focus on one man, because that's what he did even at that time. He can heal masses if he wants to. He can heal one man if he wants to. He does what he pleases. Praise the Lord. And you cannot control him. You cannot tell him who to heal. You cannot tell him who not to heal, but he does what he wants. And he's just fair whatever he does because he's God. Praise the Lord. This man had used all his resources. You can imagine somebody for 38 years. Like today, sometimes we get sick and we tend to go see almost all doctors. In a year, you can spend all you had saved in your lifetime. And this man had with that sickness for 38 years. We don't know even his name. We are not told. Even what he did, we are not told. I guess that was not important. But of the whole crowd of people who are all there for the same purpose, Jesus heals only this one man. The man who was invalid. He was disabled longer than most people live. He thought he was of no use, not for any service. He thought born to always in pain, dying. He felt like he was useless. He was nothing. Remember, we used to be told that some people are just can feel a negative thing. You just feel like, I wish you were dead, you know? Something just very negative just drives your mind crazy. And this man felt like that. He felt like he was just dying. He never thought that one day it would come for him to be blessed. But in Jeremiah 1:5, the Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Praise the Lord. Tell your friend, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's the word of Jeremiah 1:5. It says, God knew us even before we were formed. Amen. Amen? Boy, before even my mother met my father, before even he talked the first, you know, God knew where I was. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. God knows everything, even things that haven't happened. He knows even things that will happen 1,000 years from now. He knows things that happened 1,000 years ago. I mean, everything is in the record. Praise the Lord. So that's why we need to keep our trust in the Lord, because he knows everything. Praise the Lord. This man knew not what is to be well. While most of us rarely know what is to be sick. You know, we complain when we have a bad day. We have a sick day. And this man, not in his lifetime, he never knew what is to be well. I pity him. Because he was so sick that he never knew anything good. You know, when you're very sick, you don't even feel, it's like this man, he never even knew what is to be well. It's like those people who are blind, they've never known what is light. This man was so sick for so long that he never knew what is to be well. And every day for you, you're well. Can you imagine? And this man, for 38 years, he never knew what is to be well. He was the senior guy, the master of the brokenhearted. Among the people who were brokenhearted around that pool, he looked like he was the one who was their main man over there. Like, you know, if you go to a place where people know each other for a long time, they have names. They call each other names. They don't even call their natural name. You know, they won't say like, hey, Brother Mogo. They won't say, hey, Purity. No, they will be calling you names because, you know, you've been hanging together for a long, long time. These people who were hanging around with him in the pool, they used to call him some names that he seemed like he's the guy who will never get out of that, around that pool. But in Psalms 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in the spirit. Praise the Lord. So when you think you are brokenhearted, that's the time you should know that God is closer to you. Praise the Lord. When you feel useless and helpless, that's when you attract God. When you don't have anything left, no one cares and no one loves, and no one loves you, no money, and you cannot make it without God, that's when God really shows up. Praise the Lord. God waits until you are at 0 point. I mean, like, you tried to your brother, you tried the church, you tried everybody who knows around you. And when you don't have anything left, he will wait you until you use everything. Every coin, every penny, everything. All friends around you, they have supported you. They don't know what to do now. That's when God just shows up. Praise the Lord. So if you are waiting on God, I'm going to assure you that he is still waiting for you. Amen? Because he knows where you are. Amen? He knows where you are at 5 point before you go to 0. So you're still about 4. He knows you can still make it. So if you think things are still not bad, know that he knows. Praise the Lord. But he's going to wait until you are at 0 point. When you don't have anything you can turn into. And that's when God shows up, because then you will give him all the glory. And you will come, you'll be able to come to the church and say, wow, why not the Lord? Praise the Lord. I remember when I was born and when I was young, my father died when I was young. And we were so young that we couldn't even know. But my mother chose to follow the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I thank him every day, and I remember him every day, because he changed our life. Praise the Lord. Because we were so poor. Like, we were so poor. You could think of the people, like the church would take food to them. The church would help them. I mean, when we didn't have anything, like we couldn't see anything. We used to get like clothes from Wild International. Can't remember the name of it. But Wild Vision. Amen. We used to get some clothes from Wild Vision. But God knew where we were. Praise the Lord. So he hasn't forgotten you. You might not be getting the clothes from World Vision. You might not be getting food from the church, but you could be going through something that you cannot even tell somebody. But God knows the situation you are in. Praise the Lord. I'm giving you that as a story so that you can know that people come from far. You can look at people and say, wow, they're doing very well. People have come from far. And that's one of the things that God uses so that you can remember where you came from. Praise the Lord. Because he has promised us our future. He knows us. He knows our future. He knows our days. He knows the hours that are remaining before we meet him. He knows everything. So when you waste your time not doing what the Lord has called you to do, not obeying the will of the Lord, you don't know what you're doing to yourself. Don't waste more time, because there is no time to waste. Praise the Lord. You don't know when he can come. But when you prepare your heart, when you stay in the will of God, when you do his will, he will show up at the right time. Praise the Lord. So Jesus focuses on this one man. Of all the people, you can imagine, we are told that these pools, there were so many people around there waiting. And as we try to get a picture, a clear picture, because I was trying to look if we can get like a movie somewhere, something that can open up your eye and see this kind of pool where miracles was happening,
There were so many people. But Jesus focuses on this one man who he want to heal for some reason. And I believe it was for the glory of God. This man knew not what is to be well, we said. He was the senior guy. And when you feel useless, that's the time you know that God is being attracted to you. Praise the Lord. When you feel like you are useless, when you feel like your mind is not working, when you don't know what shall I turn to be, when you try to pray, you can't even pray. When you try to worship, you can't worship. When you try to talk to your husband, he don't listen. When you try to talk to your wife, he don't listen. When you try to talk to your children, they can't listen. When you try to talk to your brother, he can't listen. Nobody understands you. You feel like you're crazy. You feel like you are in your own world. Thank God, because he still knows you. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody he still knows you. He still cares for you. He's right there to help you. Amen. He sides with the weakest. Here. He's God of everything. He doesn't visit the palaces. He doesn't visit the big mansions. He visits the poor. He visits the lowly. He visits the humble. He visits the sick. He visits the dying. He visits a poor man who doesn't have anything. This is one of the ways that I don't understand how God works. But that's his ways. His word says he can choose to work with anybody. We have seen kings. He worked with King Solomon, didn't he? So we can say that kings are bad or anything. God chooses whatever he chooses. But what we need to do is to stay in the will. Praise the Lord. Because if we stay in his will, little did we know, he will come to our rescue. Praise the Lord. But you stay out of the will, then you miss the action. Because when Lord comes, then you are not there. But if you are there waiting for him, he will show up before you know it. Praise the Lord. He lifts us when we are down. He opens the eyes of those who don't see. He just loves the helpless. He helps the weak for the glory of God. He came to seek and save the lost. When Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he just went to him and asked him, "Do you want to be well?" In verse 6. "Will thou be whole?" See, Jesus is a character like no other. Nobody can imitate Jesus. Nobody can be like Jesus. We can all follow his examples. He is amazing teacher. He's God himself. He goes there. He knows that all these people, I mean, can you imagine? Like you're going to the hospital and you find somebody just coughing blood. And all you can ask him is, "Do you want to be well?" I like the way the word of God is. It's just broken. So that even when you're reading the word of God, you ask yourself, why? You know, why did Jesus had to go to this particular man? And why did he chose to ask him this question? Because sometimes, you know, it don't make no sense. Really. Is it only me or do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because Jesus walks there and he says, "Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be well?" And this man has been there for 38 years. For some of us who are short-circuited or who get mad pretty easy, you know what we call msukumano? People pushing each other. If it was somebody strong, some people you can ask them question because they get mad like that. And if this man was strong, he could have pushed. Before you know what's going on, he'd be like, "Why can you ask me such a question? I've been here 38 years, and this is the kind of question you're asking me? That do I want to be well? I mean, are you kidding me? It's not only I want to be well. All these people in the pool want to be what? I want to get well. And you're coming to ask me whether I want to be well? Jesus, you got to be kidding me. You're not serious. But this is exactly what Jesus asked him. Do you want to get well? Man. I think even that man was patient too. Because not so many people, some people, if you ask them a question, they don't want to answer. They don't answer. They just look you and they know you are a fool and I cannot talk to a fool like you. I'm serious. When people are so mad, when they're up to here, that's what we call it. They're just like, they are off. They don't want to talk to you. They say, you know what? I can't talk to that fool. I just looked at him. He asked me, and you'll hear it. He asked me, you know what I did? I just walked out because I can't answer such a question. I think it don't make no sense. He's just wasting my time. But this is what Jesus is asking this man. Do you want to be well? And I believe that, even us today, we could be in a situation like that, you know? And not necessarily physically, but spiritually. We could be somewhere that we are sick, lame, or blind. And Jesus is asking you today, do you want to be well? Praise the Lord. Take a moment and think about that question. If Jesus was asking you today, it don't matter what, it don't matter whether you have an issue or you don't, and I'm thinking it even myself, that if Jesus was here today and he says to me, do you want to be well? What could be your answer? What could you say? I believe Jesus could get so many answers because we have so many issues. But this, let's see what it says with this man. And if we back up a little, if you have been affliction, pain, problem, distress, great suffering, hurt for a long time, Jesus knows it. In Psalms 55, 22, it says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. That's what it says in Psalms 55. His companions in tribulation insulted over him because he had often been disappointed of a cure. But praise the name of the Lord, Jesus took him for his patience. He lifts him up, those who are run down, homeless, who are jobless, who are orphans, who don't have anybody they can turn into. Jesus took this man as his own patient. There is nothing more special than to be taken in by Jesus Christ. If you walk in a hospital and Jesus Christ is the one who tells you, walk with me. You know, when we go to the hospital, we look for the best doctor. And when the doctor says, Mr. So-and-so, wow, you feel it's like the president saying, hey, come on and dine with me. Because you know your problems are over. Problems are solved because he's a doctor. And thank God this was the main doctor, the doctor who cures other doctors. He's have everything that you need. He's Jesus and he's the Lord. So he comes and he's the one who is dealing with this case. And this is, I wonder how many other experiments this man had tried to get healed. You know, before Jesus got there. I wonder how many experiments this man had tried. I bet he had tried so many doctors because sometimes when an issue is so stressing, you tend to look for help everywhere. You try to go to your friends, you try to go anywhere because you never know what will work. And unfortunately, even some people, they go to see the psychic people. But that's not for us Christians. But people try everything. They try to go to anything because you don't know what will work. After it's so long and it's so depressing, you feel maybe it might work. But thank God, because this man was still waiting there, he knew his turn would come, praise the Lord. And I want to just encourage you today that your turn is coming. Turn to somebody and tell them, your time is coming. Tell them, your time is coming. He was ready to hope in something else. He was ready to hope in something else. Can you imagine only when we are almost losing hope? only when you are like, I have given up. Only when you are about to die, Jesus knocks in and he walks you in. And now you're going to see the main doctor. Praise the Lord. It's amazing the way he works, because he is the Lord. And he can wait until, just that's why I'm telling you, whatever you don't have right now, God knows that you don't need it. And whatever you have, you better use it for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Because you might lose it if you don't make use of it. So make use of what you have. Because if you get sick today and go to the hospital, you would be looking for the time you were healthy. You would be saying, God, if you make give me back my health, I will do this and that and that. Isn't that right what happens? So many people in the hospitals, they pray and they ask for better health because they're promising God. It's like they argue and they tell God, if you give me this, I'll do that for you. I remember somebody was saying before they got here in America, they used to tell God, if you make me get a visa, I'm not lying, but if you make me get a visa, I'll live for you. Just a visa. Where are those people right now? Some are drinking. I have even one man who was a pastor in Kenya. Now you'll find him with the bottle of beer, drinking. And I tell him, you know, you're wasting your time. He thinks it's fun. He thinks it's a joke. But anyway, he's a man who backslided. But can you imagine what people used to promise God? What people are promising God today? That God, if you do this, and I know, I can feel in my spirit that so many people of us, we promise God something. God, if you let me get this money, I'll do this. And I even have another example that somebody promised the church the money. He said, you know, I want to play lotto. It was somewhere in South Africa. So he said, he came to the church and he said, oh, pastor, pray for me. And if I win this money, it was about $1 million. If I win this money, I'll bring half of this money to the church. Because anyway, I don't have it. But if you pray, you see how silly we are sometimes. I mean, it's even a shame. You didn't have it. Now, this man, the pastor just prayed, because that's what you do. He prayed for this man to go win the money. Less did he know, the man won the money. Now, the biggest war ever seen in South Africa was about pastor or that church getting its share, whatever this man had promised. This is a true story. They fought so bad because this was an agreement. You know, when you're playing lottery, sometimes they say, you can put like promises. You can say, this is what the share you will get. So we are praying together, but this is the share you'll get. You have to honor that. But this is an example of what we promise God. You know, we kind of trick God. God, give me a truck. Give me a wife, and I'll serve you. Give me some children, and I'll serve you. Give me some job, and I'll be giving you 10 tithe every time. When you get the job, we don't find you. We don't find the tithe. You are out of here. This is a problem people have. But we need to know that God is very faithful. Praise the Lord. He's not like a man that you can trick him, that you can tell him, give me this so that I'll give you that. Praise the Lord. So what can I do for you? Jesus is asking this man. Jesus is asking for us today that what can I do for you? Do you know that so many people are not willing to be healed of their sins? Today, we have so many people. We have brothers, we have friends, we have neighbors, we have children, we have parents that don't want to be healed today. I mean, here we are talking about this man was being healed, whatever sickness he had. But do you know today there's so many people who don't want to be healed? And when you tell them about salvation, you will hear all kind of excuses. I'm waiting to be this year. Hold on. I know the word. I know the word. I'll be saved when my time comes. Those are the excuses that they make when they don't want to get well. Because all it is about getting well, it's about getting the salvation. Praise the Lord. That's all it is here. Getting well is all about the salvation. Jesus never forced you to do anything. It's your life. You have freedom to do whatever you wish. So if you don't want to get well, he will never force you. But I would urge you to make a good option of getting well. Because this man is being asked by Jesus, what can I do for you? And that's why Jesus, I love Jesus because he's a gentleman. He never forces you on anything. And actually, even when you say you want to get well and you get in the salvation, he doesn't force you either. You want to get out? It's up to you. You are the one who is losing. So let's make a good choice of following the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because when we are with the Lord, he will help us. And we say, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another one steps down before me. While I'm walking to the pool, can you imagine? Let's say like this is the 37 years. The water have been stirred. You can see the water being stirred. And now you are just about. My goodness. And somebody else says, I've been healed. And they walk out shouting that they have been healed. And you are there. And all you are like, oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. Thank God, because when you see other people being healed, you know what? Say, my time is coming. Say like you mean it. My time is coming, praise the Lord. Because he hasn't stopped healing, praise the Lord. And thank God, because he's not about seasons. He can heal you today, whatever issue you have, praise the Lord. So, not only do I want to be healed, but this man said, everyone else around the pool. I guess that this man could have said, if you help me, do it. Don't ask me questions. And he's telling Jesus. He doesn't even know who he is. You see, sometimes Jesus might be asking, like you can feel, some people say, they had a voice. You know, they had a voice, and they had a voice telling them, you need to take this money to the church. And if you don't, I don't know the rest of the story. Some people, they say, I had a voice telling me I need to get saved today. And if I don't, whatever the story is up to them. You need to hear Jesus. Because sometimes the voice will be speaking to you, but you don't hear. You can hear the voice, like when you're doing something wrong. There's some voice that tells you, man, you know, like somebody's there just telling you, hey, Noel, you're not doing right. Watch out. And you're like, oh my goodness, I'm struggling with this. And this is when God is speaking to you. Praise the Lord. When you hear this voice telling you to do the right thing, you know that this is the Lord speaking. You know, this man didn't know that this was Jesus. He thought, he didn't even know who this man was. But this man was telling him, do you want to be well? He does not think of any other way of being cured than by this water, and desires no other friendship than to be helped into the water. He never thought that there is any other way he could be healed but somebody to throw him in the water. There's not only one way to get healed. Praise the Lord. Tell your friend there's so many ways Jesus can use. He can use a man like me. He can use a woman like me. He can choose to do anything. Praise the Lord. You can go to the hospital and get well. Jesus still influenced you to go to that hospital and you got well, but he did it. So sometimes we give credit to the wrong people. You say, that doctor, oh man, that is the doctor. It's not a doctor. Jesus just healed you. Somebody is just taking the credit for what Jesus did. Praise the Lord. He is the healer. And all these people, they'll be coming here saying, oh, I hate that guy. I ain't no healer. Who is the healer? Say like he is the healer. He is the doctor. Praise the Lord. Yeah, don't say like Jesus. Say like Jesus. He is the healer. Praise the Lord. But it's common for people to forget you when you cross the other side of the world. You know, some people had been there with this man for a long time. They had been healed. And when they got healed, they forgot this man. I mean, can't you imagine, like, if you win $1 million, you don't even want to give me your old car? You know? Voila. Like, you just say, hey, pastor, take this car and go preach. You know, there's so many people who are there, they got healed, and they couldn't even help him in the water. Do you see how we are? Because it's the same today. When people get well, you don't even see them again in church. They go to big churches now. You know, I'll be going to TD Jakes because that's where I feel that God is leading me. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying a TD Jakes church is bad. It's a very good church. But what I'm saying is there are people there, you know, you can brush shoulders with the football players, people who are driving Benzes and big cars and big houses and big money. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say about the church in particular. But that's what happens to us. We forget, Brother Mogo, that you are there, that my brother was there, because if we knew that, we need to support each other and lift each other. But it's amazing that everybody get well and they said, you know what? See you later. You need to wait for your plan. I pity this man. For 38 years, nobody, and there were like 4 people being healed in 1 year. At least not even one. For 38 years, can you do the math? And tell me how many people are healed? How many people are those? Not even one man. How many are those? 152? Oh my goodness. More than 152, they got healed. And nobody even said, you know, this man, I've been hanging around with him here. I just need to help him. And then we can go maybe start a ministry together. Nobody. Everybody got well and they left. They didn't even want to look behind or see that pool or anything with that pool. I guess it's like the way you are in the hospital after you get well. You don't even want to go visit people, you know. But it's a good way. When you get well, you need to go back to the hospital. And like a good way, like we do the church. When we are healed, we go back to the church and say thank you. Like we saw even this story. When this man got healed, he went to the church. Actually, Jesus met him in the church. And when he saw Jesus, he remembered that this is the man, because Jesus told him, don't sin no more. Rather, you might get something worse than what you had. So, this is the only thing I'm saying. that don't forget the house of the Lord when you get a healing. Praise the Lord. It's a good way of just saying thank you. It's a good way. I mean, it's a blessing. When you're blessed, be a blessing to others. Praise the Lord. Because so many people, they tend to forget when they are blessed. But don't forget, because I still need you. When you're blessed, I still need you. Because so many people need, this man, he needed so many people who could help him. He still needed help, but there was nobody to be found. And that's what he's trying to explain to Jesus. While I'm trying to get into the water, somebody else does what? I mean, the problem is not me, it's what? Do you get the story? It's not me, it's who? It's these other people. Huh? It's you, sister. I'm not the problem. Because if you put me in the water, then what's my problem? I don't have any problem, King. That's what he's trying to tell Jesus. But he just don't know who Jesus is. Because if he knew who he was, then he would just have told him exactly that. He would have answered the question exactly what Jesus has asked him. But he's trying to tell a story that this is what's going on. You don't understand. I don't have any problem. I'm ready to get in the water, but I just don't have anybody to put me in the water. And while I'm walking, somebody else beats me down. So having been disappointed and despaired, Jesus came to his relief. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, help is on the way. Jesus said unto him, rise up, take thy bed, and walk. Immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. So Jesus healed this man, and not only did he heal him, he healed him, and this man could not only walk. This is what is amazing with Jesus. When he heals you, he gives you even power to make wealth. You know, he heals you and he gives you the ability. He took his bed and he just put it on his shoulders. This man, can you imagine? A man could not even walk. Now he's carrying his bed. This is what Jesus can do. Praise the Lord. So tell your friend, he's going to heal you and give you the power to do the unthinkable. Believe it. Say it. He's going to heal me and give me the power to do the unthinkable. He's going to heal me and give me the power to do the unthinkable. This is what happens to people who believe. I always tell people, look at somebody here and look at them in 10 years. You won't believe what they will be. There is something God does in the midst of his people. He does amazing things. Just like he chose this one man, he will choose one of us here and he will use him. Praise the Lord. Let it be me. Praise the Lord. Tell Jesus, let it be me. Pick me up, Jesus. Heal me, Jesus. And let me walk with you. Let me live with you for the glory of your holy name. Praise the name of Jesus. This is what Jesus did. He can do it for us. And he is ready to do it for us. So I just want to thank the Lord for this wonderful name of the Lord, because I know that you surely and believe that God is doing something in your life, and he will do it, he will change it. And this is not just saying. The Bible says, whatever you say with your mouth, it will come to do what? So I'm looking to some millionaires here. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm a millionaire. In the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. God has chosen us. You better believe that. Don't think that, today I don't have a job. I'm not. It's not what you think. It's what God thinks about you. Praise the Lord. And don't think that there is no money in the world. People think, oh, there is a lot of shortage of money. There is tons and billions, trillions of dollars locked in the hands of the wicked. Do you believe that? And this money needs to come to us. Why are we struggling? There is a lot of money, a lot of money. You cannot believe it. And we cannot be able to influence the world if we don't have the money. Because we need to go all over the world and preach. So having a mind that, oh, I cannot make it, I cannot do it, I don't see it, that's a lie of the devil. We need to believe what Jesus says about us, that we can do it. All we need to do is not to sin no more. Praise the Lord. Because if we stay in his will, then he will be able to work with us. So God is faithful. I love him for his word. And I thank him for the word that he has chosen. I believe that he's doing something in our lives. Praise the Lord. Let us give the Lord a praise.